All right, welcome into the first edition of The Walkout here in 2020 on Hear That Podcast. Growlin', Paul Eater Jr. and Jay Morrison are here from underneath a walkway next to Paul Brown Stadium. This one's going to sound a lot like a lot of those that you heard last year. One possession loss, game they could have, should have maybe won, but they didn't. Randy Bullock. It's
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It was last year in Seattle. We talked about a game where the defense played really well. They could have, should have won. And Randy Bullock missed a huge kick. I mean, any of this sound familiar to you?
That's what it was. They had the ball in Seattle territory three times. It was an interception, a turnover on downs, and a missed field goal. And that was the same thing today. They had chances. And this, you know, if you see Randy Bullock line up for 40 to longer, you're thinking, oh, you know, this would be worst case scenario. He misses this. But a 31, you're like, that's a gimme. It's automatic. It just never crossed anyone's mind. And then it was just such a weird situation. Kudos to Randy for talking to us after the game. He was the last one they put on the Zoom call. Really kind of surprised all of us. But he said his leg grabbed right as he was going in to swing it. And he said no excuses, but obviously that's an excuse. That's a hard kick to make if you have an injury in the middle of that swing.
How that happens, I don't know. Who knows how anything like that happens? I mean, it's impossible that in that moment that would happen. But you saw it. Like, if you watched it, I mean, I remember looking up thinking, like, before I even looked at whether he made it or not, I was like, he looked like he got hurt on that kick because you could see it immediately in his motion, especially from the side. I don't think the TV copy does it justice as much. It looks like he kind of kicks it almost like normal, but you can see him like really have a nasty reaction on his way back when we watched it live, and he misses the kick. That being, let's try to go beyond the absurdity of them missing that kick and not forcing overtime. Who knows what would have happened in overtime? Let's talk about all that really mattered today. And that was how Joe Burrow played. And Joe Burrow played in many respects like a rookie in his first game. He had some mistakes. He had some throws he'd like to have back. He was not helped out all the time by his offensive line in the first half and by his receivers in the second, particularly John Ross. And that ends up really burning him. But all that said, everything that went wrong, you know, many opportunities that we can get into. He had the ball inside his own 20 with a chance to drive them down, you know, with, what was it, 3 minutes, 2 minutes?
A little more. It was about 2:40.
2:40. And they're out here running five wide receivers, and Burrow is just 7 of 10, I think, whatever he ended up, 7 of 10 for 59 yards. Yeah. He was moving them, and they had it. And guess what? They did have – there is an alternate universe that you can enter into right now where they don't call an OPI in a questionable spot. I mean, we're not going to question whatever. I mean, there was a push there. There's a lot of grabbing going on. But there's an alternate universe where they don't call that, and A.J. Green catches that. And what is the narrative around Joe Burrow right now? The savior! The construction workers are already up here. They're, like, chiseling his chin in the bronze. That's not what it is. Instead, we're going to be lamenting all the mistakes. But what he showed at the end, and really the drive before that, before the shovel pass gone wrong, I think was – dare I say, and I hate to like talk about encouraging things in a loss, but we're judging Joe Burrow. That at the end was more impressive than any of his mistakes were concerning.
Yeah, and you look at it, it was at one point I said to you on that 2 minute drive, it's like Joe Mixon is standing next to A.J. Green on the sideline. I mean, he was getting it done with throwing passes to Mike Thomas and C.J. Uzama, and he wasn't relying on, you know, the A.J. Greens to get it done. And it was just – it had that feeling of inevitability when he got the ball back and they started moving down the field. They're at midfield by the two-minute warning, and you're like, well, all they got to do is get another 25 yards or in field goal range, plenty of time to even get a touchdown. It was just – that's what you want to see. You know he's not going to be perfect as a rookie in his first start, but we talked about this all the time. That's the ideal scenario. He gets the ball late in the game, down, and he leads them, and that's exactly what happened. And I mean, you got to feel for him. I tweeted out the picture. I'm sure everyone's seen it on Twitter, but that look on his face after Randy missed the kick, it's just, I mean, here's a guy that's not used to losing anyhow, not surely not losing in that fashion. And I think Bengal fans kind of grown accustomed to that, but it was a shock to Joe Burrow. But it's not a moral victory. It's what you expected from that guy. And yeah, maybe you expect more from him earlier in the game to make that deep throw to AJ Green and not overthrow him as bad as he did. But again, game one for a rookie quarterback against a really good pass rush. He said he wanted to get hit. He got hit, and he shook it off. That's what we've seen him do all throughout his college career. You knock him down, he gets right back up, and he comes back, and he hits you with a deep pass or a key first down, and he did that over and over again. Third and tens, he's completing to extend drives. They weren't great on third down, but he made some really impressive throws on third down to keep drives going.
Yeah, as far as, I mean, you know, you've got a couple of different plays that you pinpoint. I mean, look, again, what are we talking about in the alternate universe if John Ross can catch? You know, I mean, how differently, where Joe Burrow throws a dime to Ross in the back of the end zone. And, you know, I would like to see a different angle that maybe somebody has from that end zone, because really everything, even we saw in the TV copy, it looks like it goes right through his hands. I would love to know if there was something other than that that happened there. It did not look like it. And maybe the All-22 will show something when we get a look at that. But, you know, it's like the John Ross story, right? Like, he uses the burst of speed to extend, and there he is, and the ball's right there, and it goes right through his hands. Or he has a juggle on the sideline that forces him into a longer conversion, or he has a false start. And that stuff is just, I mean, that stuff that cost them where they didn't have the time for the extra shots. They had to kick. They didn't give Burrow another shot to throw the game winner.
They needed 1 second. If there's eight seconds,
yes,
I think you can take that shot. But seven, you have to kick the field goal there.
Yeah, because they put themselves in a position, you know, it taking a few extra steps it took because of things like that. You know, and Burrow has the ball. It's a third and two. He could have taken – we talked about this in the first scrimmage. Or no, it wasn't a scrimmage. It was whatever it was. It was one of the scrimmage-type things, practice-type things. Burrow driving down, end of practice, game on the line. He has a third and short, passes on the open one that would be the third down conversion to take his shot and give his guy a chance. He did that today to A.J. Green, one-on-one on third and two, and couldn't complete it. He underthrows it a little bit. A.J. said he needed to separate a little bit more on that one. But that aggression, I like that aggression, but the execution not quite being there. He had a scramble drill for A.J. Green that he wasn't able to complete. A.J. kind of said we were just a tick off on that. Yeah. That's chemistry. That's first game chemistry type stuff. When you've not really even practiced with Green, who ended up really being his primary target most of the day, maybe more so than I anticipated. I look at it and I feel like this season's about Joe Burrow, and this season is about judging Joe Burrow. And today was about the foundation that he sets. I come away pretty encouraged by it. I think, you know, to take all those hits and you're seeing ghosts probably a little bit after that and still be able to make some big plays. It was far from perfect, but I think it was an encouraging debut for him.
Yeah, because it wasn't just the hits he took in the pocket. He ran the ball quite a bit, too. I mean, his first touchdown is a quarterback draw that he checked into. He called that audible. Middle of the field's wide open and he scores. But, yeah, he had several runs where he got popped a few times, too. And it was just, again, one of the things that people should be most encouraged about is he gives himself a D grade in this game. And you know, you take in the whole degree of difficulty with it's a really good D line. It's his first ever game. He hasn't had a offseason, all that we've talked about nonstop leading up to this game. He played pretty well. And I know fans hate moral victories, but you have to, outside of the missed kick and them losing this game, you have to be encouraged by what he showed in his first chance to prove he was worth that number one overall pick.
Yeah, he ends up with a Bengals growler bet alert, ends up with a passer rating of 66.1, 193 yards. He barely had any yards in the first half because he couldn't drive. He could not drop back without getting pummeled. I mean, there was one play. It was a zone read where Mixon and Burrow both got buried into the turf because guys were back there so fast. Bobby Hart couldn't block anything. You know, I mean, it was just Bosa and Tillery and Melvin Ingram were just back there constantly. And Linville Joseph, I mean, it was just – he had three sacks and six quarterback hits and about, I think about 16 dropbacks in the first half. Credit the line in the second half was much better. They ran the ball a little more consistently. They gave Burrow time more consistently. And then you saw him able to move the ball and take shots. And they just, you know, they couldn't finish once they got the ball down the field because they missed them. They missed the throw to Green, the throw to Ross, the shovel pass to Geo, all basically end drives that should have been, you know, either touchdowns or better, or some sort of scoring if at all. Not having the turnover kills you. Burrow, after the game, he gives himself a D. I mean, he talked through every mistake that he made and looked like a dude who was just beating himself up endlessly over it. Like you said, a guy who hasn't lost in a long time and a legendary type competitiveness. So you see how he bounces back. But I point to the last drive. AJ Green afterwards talking about, man, it was I wouldn't say in awe. Like, I'm not going to say that. But AJ Green, his tone talking about his amazement in Joe Burrow's poise on that last drive, I thought spoke more volumes than any word we heard over the entire post-game press conferences.
The word was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He said that the way Joe performed and handled himself in that final, and AJ uses the word unbelievable a lot, but you're right. The way he said it, the way he kind of lit up at that question, and it was a lot. Jonah Williams talked about it too, is that they just had this confidence. When they got the ball and they're at their, where were they, the 17 or the 18-yard line with 2+ to go, and they just had a feeling they were going to get it done, and they did. They converted a 3rd and 10. He made a big pass to Tyler Boyd. They were stuck in that 3rd and 8 because of the John Ross penalty. They converted that one. It was just – there was so much to be encouraged by, even though everybody in that locker room is no one more than Randy Bullock. But there's – I'm sure that sting – we started this podcast by talking about the parallels. I don't think that sting was there in Seattle last year. This one really hurts, and it's almost good news that it's a Thursday game coming up because they just get to put it behind them that much quicker.
Yeah, I mean, this was a game that was winnable. They should have won. Tyrod Taylor's not very good. That LA offense is just leaves a lot to be desired. They were able to run it down their throats. I will say this, though. Encouraged by the linebacker play,
yes.
I think we were really concerned, as we should be, and anybody that's watched the Bengals for the last, well, decades, I don't know, from whenever, classic, they had a good linebacker, perfect. I mean, what that was going to look like with Hunter Henry and Austin Ekeler, and I'll be damned, I mean, their nickel package was just the two rooks. It was Davis Gaither and Logan Wilson out there together. That was their nickel. And credit those guys, you know, they had their moments, but you didn't feel like they were totally getting gashed there. There were plays, but they didn't feel like they were totally getting gashed. And Josh Bynes was great. Josh Bynes, you know, in so many big moments looked like a really good linebacker there for making them tackles in space. You know, the pass rush looked a little bit to be desired. The defensive backfield was really fantastic. William Jackson had a great game. Mackenzie Alexander had a great game. There were a lot of passes where Tyrod Taylor threw it, and you're like, is he throwing it away, or is he bad, or was it just good coverage? Like, what's happening? But I think a lot of it's good coverage, and I think that's super encouraging as well when you're talking about where this team is at defensively.
Yeah, I mean, it was what you would expect from a veteran quarterback to live for the next play. And, you know, Darius Phillips, he got burned on the PI on that one, but he played well too, I thought. I mean, he was giving up a lot of size to Mike Williams, Mike Williams didn't kill him. Keenan Allen didn't kill him. I mean, Keenan Allen was really a non-factor in this game. Well, I mean, what did he – he had 5 catches. But it just – none of them seemed like they were big. You mentioned Josh Bynes. I mean, 1st and goal at the 2, and he gets a tackle for loss on 1st down, and that sets everything up where they hold him to a field goal. Just so much to be encouraged by, even though – it's not like a broken record, but even though they lost – There is a lot to be encouraged by. And it was the big plays, like the play that Hunter Henry had right before the end of the first half that led to a score. That was a miscommunication. They just left him wide open, and he ran up the sideline for 33 yards. It wasn't the guys running wide open in the middle of the field because no one could keep up with them. That kind of problem that we've seen in the past. It feels like Wilson and Davis Gaither, those guys, they stuck with the running backs. They stuck with the tight ends. It wasn't great. But again, rookies, first performance. And it was far and above what we were used to seeing these last couple of years. So that's something to be encouraged by as well.
Yeah, you wonder how much of the offensive line's terribleness in the first half was not quite being prepared for what LA brings. First game and all of that stuff, new group. Are they going to be second half offensive line this year, where you can see how they can move the ball and hold up a little bit? Or is this going to be where games are going to look like this, where they're going to have quarters and halves, maybe full games, where they're just a dumpster fire up front? Curious to see how that plays out. But at least they did. I mean, no sacks in the second half. Burrow was able to drop back and kind of throw it. So the two big weaknesses, I think, give you some hope to believe that they won't be, you know, what they have been in years past. But again, time will tell. You never know, game to game, what can happen. The bottom line is it's a loss, an unbelievable one, and Bengals fans just get kicked in the gut again, over and over again. It's just like it gets old. But you know, turn it around on Thursday, and they go to Cleveland and find a way to you know, play the next game. That's all there's to it.
And Cleveland is not dealing with a little bit of a sting. They've got to be questioning everything right now after that performance against Baltimore today. I tweeted it out. The Bengals have been 35-2 in their last 37 games when they held the opponent to 6 points or less through three quarters, and it's 35-3 now. I should have never tweeted. I don't believe in jinxes, but yeah, maybe that's a stat you save until after the game.
Jay's always got stats, even ones that break your heart. And really, Randy, by the way, I don't think ever had a non-blocked field goal of 31 or closer in his entire career. It was basically, when you break down, if you're counting extra points, which is basically that range of 33, he's at 31, and what he's done in his career, it's basically about a 97% job.
Yeah.
I mean, at what Randy has been, it's about a 97% for his career. He gagged it.
I was like you. I saw him hurt, and I thought, what, did they run into him? There's no flag. I mean, surely he must have got – because I was watching the ball. I didn't see – and just the way he was reacting, he was so hurt that it felt like he got run into, and there was no flag. And then you go back and you watch the replay, and you could tell that it was just, as soon as he kicked the ball – I mean, he didn't even watch the ball. He just – kind of went halfway down, and then when he was coming off the field, it looked a couple times like he was gonna go down, and like you would in a normal case and let trainers come out, and it was almost like his pride took over. He didn't want to make it look like he was making an excuse by going down, and he kind of fought through it and walked off the field. But just crazy ending. It's that's why I said this team is the embodiment of Murphy's Law.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, well, that's our walkout, first under the bridge walkout. Maybe this will be our new weirdo spot that we'll do as the year goes by. So anyway, hope everybody enjoyed. We will be back so Tuesday this week with the main podcast, and then we'll have a walkout again on Thursday. So no growler this week, but we will hope to have. I think we're going to have Zach Jackson from Cleveland on Tuesday. So make sure you check that pod out, and of course, hope you read all of our stuff going on the site right now. In case you didn't know, $1 a month offer going on right now. So make sure, if you're not a subscriber, you've been thinking about it, you want to read all the stuff all season long that hopefully doesn't involve the kicker gagging from 31, make sure you come on, subscribe. This is the best time to do it. So we would love to have you on. And if you are a subscriber, thanks. Hope you're all enjoying all the new features on the new app, all our real-time stuff and front page and everything else that we've done to improve it. And if you were wondering where the actual podcast button is on the app now, it's in your little face thing in the very top left. Click on the button that is your file. There's a thing under it that says podcasts. click on it there. You see podcasts. It's in your file now. So just go right in there and you'll see all your podcasts in that spot. They moved it. So some people were asking about where it's at now. That's where it's at, in case you're listening to this and you're like, I want to listen on the app, but I couldn't find it. That's where. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We will talk to you on Tuesday, and have a good one, everybody.